npwarchitects.com. This is NHPR.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Like the movie Groundhog Day, where the same day keeps recycling itself, some legislation in New Hampshire just keeps coming back. Exhibit A, the gas tax returns, with a looming threat of DOT layoffs and unpaved roads. Senate Transportation Chairman Jim Rausch plans to resurrect the possibility in a new bill. In Exhibit B, a second highway funding bill would depend on funding from casino profits, another idea revived by Democratic Senator Lou D'Alessandro. Governor Hassan also has not given up on casino gambling, appointing members to a commission this week for study and recommendation. The group will work on increased state regulation in response to criticisms of last year's HB 152, the casino bill that was narrowly defeated in the House. The State House saw other activity this week with another meeting of the Medicaid Expansion Committee, as well as the final tally on last year's fiscal surplus. Meanwhile, Northern Pass remains in the headlines with a new documentary lambasting the hydropower proposal, even as Northeast Utilities executives remain confident about state and federal approval. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, and let's hear from you. What are some of the news items that really grabbed your attention this week? What are your thoughts about some of the stories that I mentioned that we'll be looking at this hour? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. And, of course, you can post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests with us for the full hour today. Dean Spiliotis is here, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, happy Friday. Good to see you.
Thanks, Lorna. Good morning.
Also with us, Kevin Landrigan, longtime political reporter for the Telegraph of Nashua. And Kevin, thank you for giving us your time. We appreciate it.
Great to be back, Laura.
Again, that number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And gentlemen, before we get into all the New Hampshire news that we need to cover, and there's a lot, I'd love your thoughts, Kevin, you first, on those national unemployment numbers that just came out about a half hour ago. The national unemployment rate at 7.4% compared to 7.6% in June, so edging down.
Yeah, and certainly that's good news, and it's showing that the economy is continuing to improve. But there are many indicators in this report that talk about really what are the barriers to a full recovery. If you look at part-time workers and the number of people who have part-time jobs because they have to in order to keep their home, that has not changed at all. The same with people who are marginally attached to the workforce. Those are folks who say they've looked for a job in the last 12 months, haven't been able to find it. Same group, hasn't really changed. Discouraged workers, these are folks who have essentially given up trying to find jobs. The same group, it's the same size it was a month ago. These three factors really are the key to a full recovery. Once the economy fully recovers, many of these folks will have jobs without even having to look for them.
Yeah, Dean, and your thoughts on those broad numbers and also what they might say about the New Hampshire numbers. Those come out in about a week.
Well, I'm sure, you know, the administration is happy any time that that number ticks down a little bit. It's 162,000 jobs in July. I think the average for the last 12 months has been about 190,000. So it was right around kind of the average, maybe a little bit below. You know, for the economy to really be firing on all cylinders, you want to be up over 200,000, 250,000 per month. So I think this is certainly good news. I think there's still a little bit of tenuousness around it. There are some indicators, as Kevin said, that are problematic. There are others that we're going to talk about, like the housing market, which are actually quite good. And if you remember, it's the housing market that got us into the Great Recession several years ago. So, you know, overall, I think it's probably good news. I think the administration would probably want to see an even higher number, but I think they will certainly take this. What it means for New Hampshire, you know, remains to be seen. This has been kind of an iffy summer season with all the rain and the super high temperatures. That can have a seasonal impact. There's some new public opinion data out from WMUR that says there are still some concerns among New Hampshireites about the direction of the economy and whether or not the country is on the right track overall. So, you know, we typically are lower. I think we're down now around 5.2, 5.4%, something right around there. So we'll see. I think it's certainly good news, but there still is this kind of overall tenuousness to the feel of how we're doing that I think is some concern, and that's what we're seeing reflected in the public opinion data.
All right, and I want to ask you guys about some New Hampshire news that came out this week that caught my attention. This is the idea of some lawmakers, Kevin Landrigan, talking once again about raising the gas tax and talking about casino gambling. I feel like we're sort of in replay mode here. What's going on?
Yeah, wasn't it Groundhog Day, the movie with where the actor kept waking up the next day and it was the same day,
right,
reliving it, and that's really what this is looking like. Since gambling and a gas tax really and the notion of generating more revenue to support infrastructure spending was the biggest unmet need by this legislature, and clearly there is a need. The real question is whether this legislature will have the will to do anything about it in an election year next year. And I think the jury is very much still out on that. I'm very skeptical that a major infrastructure bill, whether a large gas tax increase, is going to pass the state Senate, controlled by Republicans in election year. And also, if you look at essentially the ticking time bomb that is the state highway fund, it really doesn't go off until the middle of 2015. So this legislature could do nothing in 2014, and the new legislature would have it dumped in its lap with essentially 6 months to fix it.
Well, and you folks at the Telegraph sat down with Peter Bragdon earlier this week, Senate President. He did throw out the idea, Kevin, of tying a gas tax increase to inflation.
Right. And what's interesting about that is, if, as folks may recall or not, I don't blame them if they don't. Only junkies like me would. when the Senate killed the gas tax, they indefinitely postponed it, which essentially means that that bill in its entirety can't come into the Senate next year, can't even be debated or discussed. But Senate President Bragdon indicated that tying the gas tax to an inflation rate is a different idea. It is a tax increase, by the way. Once inflation goes up, your gas tax will go up. But he said, I'm not endorsing the idea. I'm just telling you that I would allow that to be debated in the Senate. And it could. What the thing about tying it to the inflation rate, inflation is not very high right now, but it is rising. It could be the answer to an incremental infrastructure bill. And like I say, the real question is whether you can get consensus behind that. For example, a lot of people in this legislature, leadership, want to widen 93. And they want to fix the Sarah Long Bridge over in Portsmouth, that project as well. But 80% of the legislature don't come from either parts of that state. And they want their roads and bridges fixed too.
Well, and speaking of revived ideas, the other idea that, again, has come back, Dean Spiliotis, is casino gambling. How is that possible? I thought this was, you know, tucked into bed, never to wake up.
Yeah, this is interesting. So the connection with the gas tax is part of the proposal by that Republican senator to bring back the gas tax is also to borrow money to pay for the completion of the I-93 expansion and also rebuilding the Sarah Long Bridge in Portsmouth. And how would they pay off that loan? By the profits from casino gambling from a bill that Lou D'Alessandro is going to reintroduce into the Senate. So it is going to come back around. As you mentioned in the opening, Governor Hassan has reconstituted the Gaming Regulatory Oversight Authority. This was the commission established by John Lynch in 2010, when the argument was that a regulatory framework needed to be in place and studied before you could have casino gambling. And I think this was one of the criticisms that Governor Hassan heard in the last debate was, this is all happening too quickly. You really need to understand the regulatory requirements of casino gambling. Get that in place first, and then perhaps you'll have better success.
So grease the skids, so to speak.
Yes, and you know, in our previous discussions about casino gambling, I had made the point that in some cases people are voting their sort of core belief on whether or not gambling is a social and economic good, but there may be other people who are movable under the right conditions. So this idea of studying and establishing a regulatory setup is something that I think Governor Hassan thinks may help, and the commission is supposed to propose legislation by December 15th based on the study.
Okay, and speaking of studying something, Todd Bookman is here, NHPR's health and healthcare reporter. And Todd, as you well know, the legislature has been studying intently the idea of whether New Hampshire should expand Medicaid or not, as envisioned under the President's Affordable Care Act. Some states have said, yes, we're going to. Other states have said, no, we won't. New Hampshire's still trying to decide What did this committee talk about this week, Todd?
So remember, we've got this 9-member commission that's going to meet all summer. And you're right, New Hampshire is one of just 6 states left that hasn't decided this question of whether or not to expand under the health law. This week, we got a presentation from the state's insurance department, a fairly detailed, some would say dry, look inside the current insurance marketplace in New Hampshire. Last week, it was Health and Human Services, who certainly want to see an expansion of the program. They put forward, I think, a really interesting idea, kind of a quasi-expansion that would grow a small but existing program in the state, something we already have called HIP. It gets a little wonky, the Health Insurance Premium Payment Program.
Now, is this the HHS folks or the insurance department
HHS
folks?
Put this forward.
Okay,
and they like this idea. This is where people who qualify for Medicaid but already have private insurance, the state basically picks up the premiums instead of taking the person onto Medicaid. So right now there's only a few hundred people in the state that actually are part of this HIP program. But if we expand Medicaid and we use this option, this would allow about 13,000 more people to stay with private insurance, but Medicaid would pick up the premiums. I think some people would see this as a middle ground, as a way to keep the private market more involved in the Medicaid program. The state of Arkansas is considering a very similar model to this. Either way, though, it would need federal approval, and that's certainly not clear whether or not the state could get that.
Yeah, and talk a little bit more about this Medicaid expansion committee, Todd. As you said, they're meeting all summer. What do they have to do in the end?
So on October 15th, there's going to be a report that gets put out. This is a 9-member body, 5 Democratically appointed members, 4 appointed by the GOP. We could see a decision in October that has a majority report and a minority report. I think it's certainly unclear at this point if all this information that the commission members are receiving, if it's going to actually change any minds. I think it's too soon to tell. There's certainly a lot of information for them to mull over. We've also got a public session coming up at the end of this month, but they're going to put this report out. And then no matter what, it's got to go back before the legislature.
So it is the legislature.
Right. This will go before potentially a special session of both the House and Senate. So either way, lawmakers are going to have the final say in this.
Wow. So something to be watching very closely in the fall.
There's a lot left to go, yeah, before we get this final decision.
All right, Todd, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Todd Bookman. Again, he's NHPR's health and healthcare reporter. Coming up after a short break, NHPR's Sam Evans-Brown will be here talking about several big environmental stories that were in the news this week, including continued controversy over the Northern Pass hydropower project and concern over increasing beach closures here in the Granite State. All that coming up, plus your calls, so stay with us.
My name is Lynn Krikorian. I'm from Manchester, and I am a sustaining member of NHPR. I feel that Laura Kanoi is a terrific host because she's very balanced. Promote an idea rather than an agenda, I think, is really what I think Laura does so well with allowing her guests to speak on their points of view. There is never a time that I feel like she's swaying one way or another. I feel like she's really trying to bring ideas to the table so that people can form their own opinions. It's wonderful.
That's one of the reasons why you listen to New Hampshire Public Radio. Hosts like Laura Kanoi, a terrific, terrific talent and a great host. 1-888-805-6477 is the way to help support programs like The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio and also get yourself a chance at a grand prize, brand new car for our summer car raffle. I'm Virginia Prescott. I'm here with Keith Shields. He's going to tell you a little bit more about what's on the table here for winnings.
Well, what's on the table is, first off, the time is running out. They only have about a day and a few hours to get your tickets when you give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or purchase your tickets online at nhpr.org. But when you do, you'll be in the running to win either a Trek bike with a Yakima roof rack donated by S&W Sports, a kayak from Portsmouth Kayak Adventures, and our grand prize, which is a car from any of the Capone Automotive Group's 6 dealerships. So 3 prizes up for grabs, but you need to buy a ticket to get into it. 1-888-805-6477.
This is just the first of a 3-hour roundup of local, national, and international news. A chance to really dig into the world around you from the local level all the way out. This is what we do at New Hampshire Public Radio. We present the world with perspective, with people who spend their time thinking about these kind of things and having discussions that really bring some depth and understanding to the events of the world around us. That's why you support New Hampshire Public Radio, and today is an especially good day to support New Hampshire Public Radio by buying a raffle ticket for $50 or three raffle tickets for $100 to get yourself a chance at some truly fabulous prizes, including a new car. But your time is running out, so call us at 1-888-805-6477 or buy your tickets at nhpr.org.
And, you know, it was 8 months ago, but if you can think back to New Year's Day, did you make some kind of resolution to get back in shape and have been putting it off ever since? Well, you know, no problem. It happens. But we think here at NHPR, we have the solution for you. If you enter our summer car raffle, you could win a Trek bike. It's donated by S&W Sports, and it also has a roof rack to carry it around on your car. As an avid cyclist, I can tell you that cycling is a fun and exciting way to lose a little weight, a few extra pounds. Having a new bike might be the inspiration you need to get out there and get some exercise. But time is running out to get one of those bikes and purchase one of those tickets. 1-888-805-6477 or learn more about our bike online at nhpr.org and purchase a ticket there.
You can get as many tickets as you'd like. Chances, one ticket for $50, three tickets for $100. Such a deal for the New Hampshire NHPR Summer Car Raffle of 2013. That's the first time we've been offering that. And we ask you for this because we get most of our money from listeners, about 40%. And because we're accountable to you, we're not accountable to Wall Street or Madison Avenue or Capitol Hill. And we can bring you clear, concise, objective news coverage like you're hearing on The Exchange today. And you can support that by calling us at 1-888-805-6477 and buying your raffle tickets. You can also buy them at nhpr.org. You can help support New Hampshire Public Radio and get a chance at a really fantastic prize.
And once again, the grand prize of our summer car raffle is a choice. This year, the winner will choose from a car from the Groponi Automotive Group's six dealerships in Concord. There's Ford, Honda, Hyundai, Mazda, Scion, and Toyota. I have a Toyota from Groponi in Concord. It's great. There's a lot of cars to choose from. Maybe you choose something else. Raffle tickets are $50 each, but this time we're also doing three for $100. So purchase $100 worth of tickets. You're going to get an extra free ticket there. 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
Just about 26 and a half hours left in the NHPR Summer Car Raffle. It is already turned to August. You know how quickly the summer goes, and the NHPR Summer Car Raffle is similar. Seize the moment. 1-888-805-6477. Buy your tickets at nhpr.org. Somebody is going to win this brand new car, a Trek bike, and a Yakima roof rack, and a kayak. Why not let it be you?
More of The Exchange coming up on NHPR. New Hampshire weather becoming partly sunny today with a chance of showers with some isolated thunderstorms. Highs today, mid-70s to lower 80s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows from mid-50s to around 60 degrees. It'll be partly sunny tomorrow with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow's highs, mid-70s to lower 80s. And partly sunny chance of showers on Sunday. Highs from upper 60s north of the mountains, mid to upper 70s for the rest of the state. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from R.M. Davis Incorporated, celebrating 35 years of providing investment counsel, wealth management, and trust services with offices in Portland and Portsmouth, online at rmdavis.com. And Great Waters Music Festival in Wolfboro presenting Smokey Joe's Cafe August 9th, a rock and roll musical featuring 40 timeless songs written by Lieber and Stoller, greatwaters.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. We've been covering some of the top news of the week, including continued discussion of Medicaid expansion, also the revival of casino gambling and an increase in the gas tax at the State House. We're going to turn our attention now to several environmental stories, and we want your questions and comments as well, of course. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. With us now in studio is Sam Evans Brown. He's NHPR's education and environmental reporter. And Sam, thank you very much for taking some time out this morning.
Sure, Laura.
Well, I want to ask you about a couple big environmental stories this week, Sam. And one of them is the hydropower project Northern Pass. Got a lot of attention this past week. What's the latest on this project, Sam?
So probably the biggest news is we had an investor call recently, and also sort of a reaction from the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests to the new route. So in the investor call, we had sort of what you typically get in investor calls, which is sort of a sunny predictions of how long this thing is going to take. They said they're going to have federal permits in hand by 2 years from now, mid-2015, and they're going to have the project completed by 4 years from now.
Can I just jump in, Sam? What does that mean, an investor call?
Sure. So the investors for the parent company of Public Service of New Hampshire called in to talk to executives and ask them questions. And this is a standard thing. They happen sort of quarterly. And what you can expect to hear in any investor call from any company is things are going great. Here's what we're doing. Here's why you should invest for this. So it's a lot of people who read the news sort of thought that this was pretty optimistic that you would have this project up and running in 4 years, given that there's almost certainly going to be lengthy court appeals to the throughout the entire permitting process. However, what else are you going to tell your investors? So that was one piece. And then the other is that we have the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests saying that actually, Northern Pass, we own the land under Route 3 where you're expecting to bury this power line. We've talked to our lawyers. They say that this land is ours. So how is it that you're going to dig it up and bury the power line there?
Wow, that's a huge deal. And again, this is a response. And we talked about this last week. But just to catch people up, the Forest Society's response was to Northern Pass unveiling earlier this month, in July, a new route.
Yes, and they have been sort of the most prominent opponent of the project, and what we're seeing now is just sort of a hardening of the positions. I mean, Northern Pass has this new route, which they say addresses many of the concerns, and critics are unimpressed, and both sides are just sort of digging in for what I anticipate to be a long fight over the new route.
Well, and one more question on Northern Pass, Sam. There was a documentary shown in Concord recently called Northern Trespass, and then the showing of this documentary made news. Then the Concord Monitor did a follow-up piece looking at some of the arguments that the documentary made, and that story in and of itself became a story. Now, just trace that for us, if you could.
Right, sure. So this is a documentary that was made by the opposition to Northern Pass. It doesn't claim to be sort of an unbiased look at it. They're saying we're telling our side of the story. And so the Concord Monitor did what they called a bit of a little fact-checking article, because there are some claims that are a little disingenuous in the movie. And of course, the opponents of the project they lit up the comment section. And it's sort of, it's a tough thing to do to fact check some of these claims. For instance, when you talk about health concerns about living near electrical wires, the opponents had their doctor in the movie. The article cited sort of other literature, and it's something that you're not going to be able to clear up in one newspaper article, and so it just sort of shows that it's a fraught thing to do to try to fact check something like that.
Kevin Landergan, jump in if you could, please.
It's interesting that in Concord, a lot of the opponents in Northern Pass are obviously looking to the legislature and to the governor to do something to stop this project, and it's pretty clear that's not going to happen now in the near future. Certainly, Governor Hassan has raised real strong concerns about this latest alignment. She would prefer all the lines to be buried underground, if that's possible. Northern Utilities, Public Services said that's far too expensive. She also wants some of the power to be provided to New Hampshire electric customers, something that PSNH has said is not in the game at all. So really what you have here is very similar to what you had prior to the construction of Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant. The political establishment essentially sat back and let the regulators make the decision. And it was only after that point that the politicians got involved, and primarily against a lot of the ways they tried to build that plant and ultimately make electric customers pay for it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dean. You don't hear much from state lawmakers and state officials about Northern Pass. They almost don't want to touch it.
That's right. You know, I think Sam is correct. I think that the two sides have really hardened into their positions here. I remember when they announced the burying of the additional 8 miles of lines, it seemed to make almost no difference on kind of the overall balance of power. I've heard you mentioned state legislators. I've heard leadership on both sides talk about the need to, you know, bury more or as much as possible of these lines. I think this is going to end up being a war of attrition. I think both sides are going to look to the state legislature for help. Maybe there will be some impact politically on, you know, what the ultimate agreement is in terms of some power for New Hampshire or maybe burying more lines. But you're right. I think that it is very difficult to kind of figure out where the legislature is on this.
Well, in another story concerning energy and public service of New Hampshire, Sam, news this week that PSNH phased out its green energy program due to, as you reported, a lack of participation.
Sure. Yeah. 0.04% of their customers. So, you know, PSNH has something like 450,000 customers, and they had, 148 at last count who have signed up to buy. And this is, I'm sure you've received the flyers in the mail. This is saying, okay, you can pay, it's about 30% more on your electric bill, and we will certify that all your energy is coming from renewables.
30% more is a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is a fair amount, sort of depending on how much you pay. 30% can be certainly, I think the average amount was like $25 per per billing cycle. So every month, $25 more. So it's understandable where this is Yankee country. I think that's probably the number one factor going into it. You see in states where these power programs have been marketed really successfully that there's a strong connection drawn between local renewable projects that have a lot of support. For instance, in Illinois, you have something like 12% or 10%, I think it was, of all of their ratepayers are paying for these rates. And it's because wind power is very big here, big there, and it's very popular there. So, it's just we don't really have projects like that in New Hampshire, and we have this sort of Yankee frugality that which just sort of work against paying for those types of things. So PSNH is the first. They're legally allowed to phase these programs out. They're the first to ask for it. Unitil said that they would be watching this closely and maybe would ask to phase theirs out in the near future. New Hampshire Electric Cooperative, the state's second largest utility, told me that they didn't see it as a big burden. They said, you know, it's basically just an administrative, you know, you change something on the person's account and send them a bigger bill. So they didn't anticipate phasing it out. But, you know, we'll see exactly how it goes.
What does this mean more broadly then? And I think you're starting to go there anyway, Sam. What does this mean more broadly for renewable energy, green energy here in New Hampshire?
Right. So those programs, what they do is, you know, the state has what's called a renewable portfolio standard, which means that utilities have to get a certain amount of their renewable electricity from renewable sources. These programs are above and beyond those requirements. So they give extra support to renewables. And it just tells you that, you know, renewables haven't been getting a whole lot of extra support in this state.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about one more story, Sam, but also invite you to join us with your questions and comments about some of the headlines that we're talking about, some of the news that grabbed your attention this week. The number for you to participate in our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. If you want to offer your thoughts and comments on either some of these stories that Sam is talking about, Northern Pass, the phase out of PSNH's green energy program, or some of the issues that we covered earlier, including the revival, possibly, of casino gambling and gas taxes in the legislature. The number, 1-800-892-6477. Email, exchange@nhpr.org. Sam, one more environmental story, if I could. Lots of reports about beach closings here in New Hampshire in recent weeks, including at some beloved lakes in New Hampshire. What do the numbers look like?
So this was reported by the Concord Monitor. The most recent numbers, we had 58 closures due to E. coli at New Hampshire beaches this year. That's about double what we had this time last year. And it's really no surprise to anyone who watches these things. You know, I was actually, for years, I was a lifeguard at Weirs Beach. And so I was constantly, you know, getting days off due to these beach closures. And it's the trope in the water world is, When it rains, it's poor, referring to water quality. And it's just because you have you know, animal waste that when it rains washes into the water. You have old septic tanks that when it rains, the water table rises, and some of the bacteria that might be in those sort of seep through the groundwater into your lakes. There's no real telling where the E. coli is coming from, but safe to say it's some warm-blooded animal fecal matter in the water. But it's really no surprise. You know, we've had a lot of rain this year, and that's where it's coming from.
So that's why the numbers are double what they were last year.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's been in the state this summer could attest to the amount of rain we've had.
Right. Well, so, okay. And some people say, hey, it's climate change, more intense weather. So that's why we've seen heavy, heavy rainstorms that make the runoff even faster and more intense. But beyond this larger issue of climate change, Sam, are there steps that the state or the individual towns could take to better protect these beaches from all that nasty runoff?
Right. Now, this is sort of something that we will see. It's going to take years for this to play out. But a lot of small towns are working their way through what's called the MS4 permitting process. The EPA has issued permits, these MS4 permits, which are for exactly that, for stormwater runoff, saying you have to deal with your runoff. You have to find ways to capture it, to slow it down, to filter it before it hits the water. And that's going to be a big cost for these towns. They're going to have to totally renovate their stormwater infrastructure in the coming years. Those permits are just working their way out right now, and these are for a lot of mid-sized towns, you know, Concord, Durham, towns of about that size. And we will hear about it in the years to come.
But it's also a big cost to these towns if nobody wants to come swimming.
Oh, indeed. Someone who was a lifeguard at Weir's Beach, when you closed the beach, the boardwalk wasn't doing very well.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sam, thank you very much. Good to see you. Thanks for all the updates. We really appreciate it.
Sure thing.
That's Sam Evans-Brown. Again, he's NHPR's education and environment reporter, catching us up on some of the environment stories that were in the news this week. You can join us with your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. We'd like to see your comments on our Facebook page as well, or call 1-800-892-6477. And Kevin Landergan, Dean Spiliotis, another business story that I'd like to pick up on with you guys is, I think you mentioned it earlier, Dean, home prices are up, home sales are up. This is good news, right, for New Hampshire's economy?
Absolutely, it's good news. It's one of the key indicators that people look at when they want to decide how well the economy is doing. Housing sales have been booming quite robustly. This past June was the largest number of single family homes sold in the state in a single month since September of 2005. You remember, summer fall of 2005 was kind of the last peak housing market. So it was just under 1,600 homes sold in New Hampshire in June. And this is a significant increase. Median sale price for a single family home is up to $225,000, which is an improvement. But back at that peak market in 2005, it was $270,000. So still a ways to go before we get up to that sort of peak sale price. Homeowners are typically getting close to 99% of their asking price. It was down to about 93% a few years ago. And you can sell your house now in about 90 days instead of 110 days. So it's all good news for people who are trying to sell. And you see even in Concord, in the different neighborhoods, a lot more for sale signs and sale pending signs as well.
Yeah, good news also for the construction industries.
Absolutely.
And people selling carpets and paint,
yep,
and all sorts of
Absolutely.
Stuff like that. All right, a lot more stories to follow up after a short break, including a couple political stories. And we'll take your calls at 1-800-892-6477. The Friday New Hampshire News Roundup continues in just a moment.
Hi, Chip Krause from Manchester, New Hampshire. I am the recipient, through my wife, of the 2010 hybrid car raffle for New Hampshire Public Radio. You know, you see the sweepstakes, for instance, and people are instant millionaires, and you think that perhaps that's not going to ever happen to you. And so certainly to be able to win something as monumental as a car, it's pretty exciting for anybody, I think. My wife actually bought the ticket, and I don't believe she was paying attention on the radio at the time, and people in her office actually came to her. And then, of course, the phone started ringing because a lot of our friends listen to New Hampshire Public Radio. A lot of times you'll see donations. You make a donation. In this instance, you actually have an opportunity to win something, and it's an exciting thing to be able to win something. And somebody does win. When you look at the odds of winning the enormous prizes in the country against the odds of the people that are going to participate in this, you have a reasonable odd of winning something. And somebody has to win. Somebody does have to win.
And hearing the Friday News Roundup is one of the reasons that you value NHPR. You can help us keep the exchange coming your way by supporting NHPR now during our summer car raffle. Because hearing Chip Krause talk about winning that car and giving props to his wife, I add, because she gave him tickets for a gift, is a great way, a reminder that somebody does win this NHPR annual summer car raffle. Why not let it be you? You can pick up a few tickets online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. Support NHPR and give yourself a chance at something great. I'm Virginia Prescott, and I'm here with Keith Shields.
And it's actually more than what Chip said. It's more than just someone will win. Three someones will actually win. For our car raffle, we're giving away three prizes. Our grand prize is a new car donated in part by Grapponi Automotive Group. Our second prize is a bicycle and a roof rack from S&W Sports in Concord. And the third prize is a kayak donated by Portsmouth Kayak Adventures. You only have until this Saturday at noon to put your name in the hat for these prizes. So please call now. Time is running out, at least for the exchange, to buy your tickets. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And all the raffle tickets you buy help support the programming on New Hampshire Public Radio. There is a direct relationship between the amount of listener support we receive and the quality of the reporting and conversations that you hear. So it's no coincidence that NHPR has become a better radio station as our listener support increases. You support this service when you buy your raffle ticket, or even three. $50 for one ticket, three for $100. A wicked good bargain, as we say here in New Hampshire. 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
You know, Virginia, you know, I know that deadlines can be a little stressful. We deal with it every day in the radio business. Maybe, you know, we procrastinated a bit. The deadline begins to loom, the clock ticking louder and louder. But we don't want to stress you out, but the deadline to buy your tickets is now 26 hours, 18 minutes away. A deadline was important for Catherine McDonough of Nashua. She called in during our early bird raffle, and she was the winner of the $2,000 worth of gas gift cards. She won. She was that someone who won. It only took 2 minutes of her time to buy the tickets. $50 for one, $100 for three, and she's in the running now also to win these three great prizes. Now, that could be you as well, 1-888-805-6477 or online, nhpr.org.
Well, congratulations to Catherine, and if you did buy your ticket for the early bird raffle portion, your name goes back into the hat to possibly win the grand prize of a new car, trek bike, or a kayak. Now, you can, of course, increase your chances this week by buying more tickets, $50 for one ticket, three tickets for $100. If you think about $100 worth of listening that you do at New Hampshire Public Radio, why not support it and why not take a chance, three chances, in fact, at winning a brand new car? 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And you may be thinking, well, I don't really need a new car. Well, consider you don't have to keep the car for yourself. Maybe your mother, your father needs a new car. Maybe you have a son and daughter going to college. You could give them your old car and keep the new car for yourself, or you could donate the car to one of your favorite charities. There are any number of things you can do if you are our winner, and you're supporting New Hampshire Public Radio, which is the important thing. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
But the sand is running through the hourglass for the NHPR annual summer car raffle. We will pick a winner tomorrow at noon and stop taking names. Buy your ticket now at 1-888-805-6477. You can also buy your tickets online at nhpr.org and take a look at all of the terrific prizes that we have. Somebody's going to win this, so why not let it be you?
More of the exchange coming up here on NHPR at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. It's the domestic hour of the Friday News Roundup. New Hampshire weather becoming partly sunny today with a chance of showers with some isolated thunderstorms. Highs today, mid-70s to lower 80s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows from mid-50s to around 60 degrees. It'll be partly sunny tomorrow with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow's highs from mid-70s to lower 80s. Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from Upton and Hatfield, representing individuals, municipalities, businesses, and school districts in New Hampshire, with offices in Concord, Hillsborough, Portsmouth, and North Conway. And Keene State College Continuing Education, offering adult learners personalized academic advising and flexible class schedules. Registering now for fall at keene.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup as we catch up on some of the top stories in the Granite State this week. You can join us, of course, at 1-800-892-6477 or with an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And gentlemen, before we closed out the last segment, Kevin Landrigan, Dean Spiliotis was describing some good economic news, the increase in home sales and home prices, welcomed by many people. But also this week, we were reminded that many Granite Staters are still struggling. The New Hampshire Food Bank said, hey, we are running really low this summer. What's going on?
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, summer is the slow period for the food bank, which kind of makes sense in New Hampshire, right, with a lot of people suffering through a hard winter. Donations tend to go up as people see the homeless sleeping in a tent, or it's just a rigorous time and everybody wants to help out in the summer. People are away, they're on vacation, the weather's pleasant. So usually the supplies are down, but they're really down now. Demand is up 6%. And one of the problems they're having essentially are donations from grocery stores are down 3 to 5% over the past 6 months. Well, why would that be? Well, really has to do with the economy, which is to say we are in this, as Dean was talking about, we're in this kind of perilous recovery, slow but sure. Meanwhile, food prices are going up dramatically. So margins for grocery stores are getting smaller and smaller. So they're less able to have huge stockpiles at their stores from which to donate to some place like the food bank. I mean, one of the important things to remember about the food bank that's kind of counterintuitive for a lot of people is if you've got 20 boxes of macaroni and cheese in your basement, it would actually be better for you to give the food bank $20 than to give them the 20 boxes. And the reason is the food bank buys their food way below wholesale price and way below what you paid to actually purchase your food.
Well, and the other thing that's going on, they said, in addition to the summertime and it's slow and the grocery stores are struggling, usually low-income children who get breakfast and lunch at school, they don't have that option anymore. So you're right, demand tends to go up in the summer. We forget about that. And I think Shaw's Supermarkets said this week that it was closing half a dozen stores in New Hampshire. So that's an example of the grocery stores struggling that you mentioned, Kevin. Dean, did you want to jump in?
Well, and typically, you know, we're talking about why donations are down, and it is because of the smaller inventories at the grocery stores, more narrow margin. And also, a lot of times, donations are tied to the holiday season. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, we're not near any of those right now. So that hurts as well.
One of the things you also have to remember is that, once again, we've got to talk about the federal government and the deficit and the debt and the fact that due to the sequester, for example, Meals on Wheels programs are getting less money in the next year than they usually get. So that's a program that obviously provides some tremendous help to a lot of seniors who can't get out to have a meal.
I want to follow up on two more stories that made news this week and then ask you guys what you will be looking at next week. The House Republican Alliance, Dean, released its annual rankings this week. Just remind us real quick who this group is and what these rankings are all about.
It's a conservative Republican Alliance within the House. So it's sort of like a House conservative caucus or study group. There are similar types of structures in the U.S. Congress. And, you know, basically what they do is they take a batch of 100 votes and they score you as a representative based on whether you agree with the HRA position or you oppose that position.
And lots of groups do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Americans for Democratic Action, a national group, famously has done this for years. And they rank you 0 to 100, 100% being you're in total agreement with the caucus. Conservative positions, 0 meaning never. And so not surprisingly, Democrats score very low on the scale, and Republicans typically score higher. So, you know, Speaker Norelli, who doesn't vote in the way that a typical representative does, she's Speaker, only voted, I think, 3 times. She got a 0. Steve Shurtleff, Democratic Majority Leader, who actually voted on all 100 of these votes, he got a 16%. You would expect that.
Any surprises,
Dean? Just for example, the highest Democrat was Michael Garcia of Nashua, who got an 87%. He typically votes with the GOP caucus on a lot of issues.
Wow, that's
so something that's unusual. Yeah, there were 6 Republicans who had perfect scores. You know, these things are fun to look at. They're typically primarily useful within the party, particularly for activists who want to get a sense of kind of where different members are ideologically. You know, a lot of times members of the other party sort of take pride in having a particularly low score as kind of a badge of honor that they're opposing policies that they don't think are in the best interest of the state. So these things are fun. They typically don't have a huge impact on the overall political scene, mainly within one party or the other.
Oh, that's funny. So people on both sides use it as
a
badge of honor.
Sure. There are many Democrats who are happy to have a low rating from the HRA.
Well, and here's another story that, boy, has been making news nationally and around the state, Kevin Landrigan, and that's local police getting, if I could call it, hand-me-downs from the military. And some local police departments are saying, great, we could use this extra equipment. And some others are saying, not sure if we want this.
Yeah, it's, again, in the backdrop of a federal government that has huge debt and deficit problems, and we have downsizing of the military and winding down from two wars, to have all this surplus military equipment essentially handed out to law enforcement makes a lot of people uncomfortable, especially if it's equipment that can be seen as expanding the rights of local police to be more aggressive in confrontation with the public. And certainly in Concord, we saw a lot of pushback to this notion of getting a $256,000 Bearcat vehicle, which is kind of an armored car or almost small tank. Police insist that it's not going to be an offensive weapon. It would really help in terms of dealing with large crowds or hostage situations to essentially protect law enforcement.
Wow, a tank rolling down Main Street. Dean, go ahead. Yeah, there's been a lot of reaction to this.
The interesting aspect of the Concord story, the way it's developing, and it was on the front page of the Monitor today, is in the application for the vehicle, the police department mentioned anti-government groups. They mentioned Occupy New Hampshire. They mentioned the Free Staters. So that sent up, you know, in the blogosphere and social media, that sent up a flare of, you know, this can be used in an aggressive fashion to put down nonviolent protests. So the ACLU has gotten involved. And so that's been sort of the excitement. But you're getting a lot of kind of out-of-state interest because of that. And this feeds into kind of a bigger issue of the debate we're having in the country over kind of the role of government as a provider of security versus individual rights and kind of liberty. So, yeah, this was an interesting twist on the Concord story, and that's why there's been so much comment.
Well, and again, this is happening nationally, too. I think the Associated Press had a great story this week looking at this in, you know, small cities and towns across America.
Yeah, and one of the problems really is that, you know, we're over a decade removed from the terrorist attack of 2011, and a lot of the communities that really needed this equipment to justifiably handle real serious domestic or foreign threats have already got that stuff. So
yeah, then there's Boston Marathon, though. I mean, people do worry about that.
Absolutely, sure. It's a legitimate debate, and I think one that will continue to go on because it really enlivens both libertarians and Democratic liberals and gets them very concerned.
Okay, super quick, guys. I know it's summer and supposedly there's no news to cover, but clearly we've proved that wrong this hour. Kevin Landrigan, what are you going to be watching next week?
Well, to pick up on what Todd talked about, there is yet again another meeting of the Medicaid Commission. This one actually should be the best one to date because it's going to be a national panel of experts essentially talking about some of the waivers that are being attempted by states such as Arkansas to create a program, kind of a hybrid program that expands Medicaid, but also with greater involvement in private insurance. And that's really the key to getting something through this legislature.
Dean, how about you?
Yeah, I think that this Bearcat story is going to be interesting to follow. The city council has to vote on it next month. Also, some new polling out from WMUR on the congressional races showing that the two Democratic incumbents, not as high as they would probably like to be. It's still early, but I think those two races are going to start to develop over the next month.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Laura.
Let's check in now with our summer car raffle.
NHPR is here for you every day to keep you informed, to introduce you to new ideas, to make your life more interesting, and to listen to the New Hampshire News Roundup. Thanks to listener support. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is NHPR Summer Car Raffle, the waning hours, we might say. So you can pick up your raffle tickets now at 1-888-805-6477 or do it online at nhpr.org, but do it quickly. Here's Keith Shields with more.
And when you get your tickets for NHPR's Summer Car Raffle, you could win our grand prize, which is a new car. You could choose from a car from any of Grupponi Automotive Group's 6 dealerships. And you also have a chance to win a bike with a roof rack and a kayak. So call now, 1-888-805-6477, or you can get your tickets on our safe and secure website. You can also learn a lot more about our 3 prizes there when you go to nhpr.org.
Now you tune into New Hampshire Public Radio to keep informed about the world around you, and there's no better place than a Friday morning here at New Hampshire Public Radio when we have the local New Hampshire News Roundup with Laura's guests, always people who are keeping their feet on the ground, know what's going on in the area, know the players, and then the domestic news hour of the Diane Rehm Show, and then the international hour, places where you can hear discussions that you really don't hear anywhere else. And of course, at NHPR, you can contribute to the discussions too. Well, that kind of programming comes from listener support, and listener support comes in a lot of different ways. Today, we're asking for it in the form of a raffle ticket, so you have a chance of supporting New Hampshire Public Radio and winning something, perhaps even a fabulous new car. $50 a ticket, three tickets for $100. Call us now at 1-888-805-6477. It's your last chance to do so during the exchange.
And why do we do this car raffle? Well, it's obviously to support New Hampshire Public Radio. It's just a fun, different way to do it. Of course, you love NHPR. You're probably even a card-carrying member of NHPR. Maybe you are a fan of our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup that we started a few months ago. So we appreciate your support throughout the year. The car raffle is just one of the ways we say thanks. We want you to have a new car. We want you to have a kayak or a new bike. So that's why we're asking you to call in right now. $50 for one ticket, $100 for three tickets. Give us a call, 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Let's hear a little bit more about this second prize, the Trek bike. It's a Verve 1 hybrid bike, so it's part mountain bike, part road bike, designed for commutes and errands during the week, or you could actually take it out on a trail over the weekend. Handles very well on pavement, or you can take it out on hard pack trails to, you know, get a little bit more scenic and a little more rugged. It is a versatile bike, and it's going to let you go just about anywhere that you're inclined to take it, and you can take it very far since it also comes with a roof rack for your car. You can only win it if you've bought a raffle ticket. That's our second prize in the summer car raffle. Call us at 1-888-805-6477. Buy your tickets online at nhpr.org and take a look at that terrific Trek bicycle that we're offering as a second prize. Somebody's going to win the bike. Why not let it be you?
That's right. And, you know, if you do it right now when you give us a call at 1-888-805-6477, you will be done before the Diane Rehm Show even begins. It's really that easy. It takes about 2 minutes of your time. All we need, your name and your phone number, and that's so we can reach you when you're our winner. And then we take your credit card information to purchase those tickets, and those tickets are $50 each or three for $100. Find out how many tickets you want. Maybe you want six tickets for $200. It's up to you, but buy your raffle tickets now before the day slips away. We don't want you to miss out. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Yeah, it could be one of the easiest and most profitable errands of your day. You just have to be 18 years or older. You do need a New Hampshire, Vermont, or Massachusetts mailing address, and you can't work for NHPR or be related to anybody who does. You can look at the complete rules online at nhpr.org while you're there to pick up your raffle tickets. Again, $50 for one ticket. Take three chances for $100. 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
You know, NPR cost NHPR $344,000 each year. And we don't expect you to pay for the entire bill. All we're asking you to do is your part. Maybe you want to chip in $50 and get yourself a raffle ticket. Maybe you want to chip in $200 and get yourself six tickets. It's up to you, and you're supporting the station. You are doing exactly what we want you to do. Pay for your part of the program when you give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Now, if you've been listening to NHPR, you probably have been hearing about this summer car raffle all summer. You